The last decade was kind to many American cities. The latest census figures indicate more cities gained population in the 1990s than in the previous decade. That growth was spread unevenly across the country. Bruce Katz is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and director of its Center on Urban and Metropolitan Policy. He says the census data provide clues to explain why some cities perform better than others.
The top 100 cities grew by about 8% compared to 6% in the 80s. And there were some surprises, not just the cities that you would expect to grow, the Sun Belt cities, but places like Chicago, Atlanta, Denver, Memphis turned it around, had a loss in the 80s but a gain in the 90s.
Is that the whole picture?
It's not the whole picture. I think there are a number of cities in the country that did not participate in the prosperity of the 90s and don't really have traction in the economy. So 28 cities either lost population or basically stayed the same. And these include cities like Cincinnati, which has had some recent troubles, Baltimore, Detroit, which dropped below a million for the first time.
So what's the first group doing right and what's the latter group doing wrong?
Well, I think regional differences are the major distinction here. New England, eastern cities continue to lose population. Midwestern cities are growing, but at a slower rate. The South is growing at about 12% in terms of its city population, the West around 19%. I think those regional differences basically speak to a different economic bases, a different inheritance, an old manufacturing base in the East and the Midwest compared to the new services-dominated economy in the South and the West.
Aging population, looking for warmer weather.
Absolutely. Weather, obviously, is a huge predictor and not something you can do much about. And that obviously defines a lot of what's happening in the Buffaloes and the Pittsburghs and the Cincinnatis of the world. But there's also some economic questions and some questions of what portion of your population is educated compared to what portion of your population are not that also play into this picture.
Are there peculiar idiosyncrasies of individual cities that lend themselves to this finding?
There's a whole bunch of cities that would have lost population if not for huge immigrant flows. The biggest growth in cities in the 1990s by far is in the Hispanic population. So you do see cities like Chicago, which had a 4% gain overall, but would have had a 4% loss if it was not for this significant immigration, particularly of Hispanics. And the question of how well your city did, in part, is a reflection of how well you did on the immigration scale. Obviously, that's related to your economic health and vitality, which is related back to these regional differences. But this is a significant change in the composition of the population of the cities.
What about northeastern cities that are doing well? Is that, again, immigration?
It's partly about economic traction. But take New York City. New York City had a phenomenal decade. New York City is the only city in the United States that has topped 8 million, grew by 700,000 during the 1990s. The bulk of that growth is because of Hispanic and Asian growth. So the cities that have some economic traction are able to attract immigrant populations. Those immigrant populations are extremely entrepreneurial and are very much part of the fabric of the turnover and the renaissance that you see, particularly in many city neighborhoods and even inner city neighborhoods.
What about non-Hispanic immigration from Africa, Asia? That's up significantly nationally too, isn't it?
Asian immigration in the cities was up 36% in the 1990s. Overall, what we've seen in cities is continued white flight. And this is what needs to be understood. Even in cities that have gained population, like a Chicago, they have continued to see the loss of part of their white population.
You still have urban-suburban conflict, despite the fact that their fates are intertwined often. Is that a racial thing, then?
I think the suburbs are becoming as diverse as city neighborhoods. And I think what has not caught up with our political culture yet is how diverse the suburbs are. I think in most metropolitan areas, what you have is a ring of older suburbs, mostly built after the 50s, which pretty much now look like the central city. There's another ring of suburbs further out from those that actually are growing in greater density. And then further out, there are rural counties that are urbanizing. These are places that 20 years ago essentially were farms and now have become not just bedroom communities, but actually employment centers. we are seeing, again, as the dominant trend, the decentralization spreading out, sprawling out of economic and residential life. But it's happening, it's affecting the suburbs in very different ways. And so I think the old city-suburb conflict doesn't really hold going forward anymore.
Bruce Katz directs the Center on Urban and Metropolitan Policy at the Brookings Institution.